One of the most memorable oldies of the late 50s by one of the most admired girl groups, the Ponytails. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am thrilled to be doing this one-hour show with two of the original members of the Ponytails. Both of them sang on that top 10 hit record. And they are Tony Sistone Kistoble and Laverne Novak Glavik. So let me say, first of all, welcome, Tony.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I am fine, Tony. And how are you?
I'm great.
You sound good. Now, Tony, I should point out to people, was the lead singer on Born Too Late. And let's welcome Laverne.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I am fine. This is a special pleasure for me because I know that you two girls don't do that many interviews. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right. Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, I found you under a rug.
I want you to know we're just thrilled to be talking to you, and it's not that we are averse to interviews. It still is so amazing to me that people want to talk to us and hear about us after, what is it now? It's been, what, 47 years since we quit singing?
Absolutely, Tony.
So it's just amazing to me, but I appreciate it very much.
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of Born Too Late, almost the 50th. Got to wait maybe 2 or 3 months. It actually became a summertime hit.
That's right.
1958. I have to tell you, there's a group that I'm a member of called the Spectropop Group. I want to say hello to all of the Spectropoppers, and the name Ponytails pops up a lot in Spectropop, and we're doing this show for all of the fans of the Ponytails, the fans of Born Too Late, not only in the United States, but also around the world. And I'm pleased to be doing this for the Jersey Girls Sing website, www.jerseygirlsing.com. Let's start at the beginning, and by the way, the Ponytails are not just Born Too Late. They are a group that was very versatile. You are going to hear recordings on this show that you're not going to believe. In fact, they're not even going to believe them. They're not even going to remember some of the recordings that they did. But I am sure you're going to be pleasantly surprised if you think that you're going to hear records that just have a single sound. That is not the case. You were originally from Lyndhurst, Ohio, the suburb of Cleveland.
That's right.
For the first 3 records that we play, Laverne, you're going to kind of be a spectator. So
that's right. I was then and I will be now.
Well, just for the first 3 records, because
that's fine.
You were not one of the original 3 members of the Ponytails. Ponytails started singing at Brush High School. And Tony, tell me, who were the members at that time when you started singing together?
At Brush High School, it was Patty McCabe, who is now deceased. She died in 89, and Karen Topinka. And the 3 of us went to Brush High, and we sang together for a talent show, and that's how we started. And we had to give ourselves a name, so at that time we were called the Tony Trio. And then when we sang the song for the talent show, my neighbor, who was a lawyer, heard it, and he was affiliated with the audio recording studio in Cleveland, Ohio. So he told us to come down there and record because they liked our sound. And we got a contract. But before we got that contract, we recorded songs here in Cleveland. And that's with Karen and Patty and I.
What songs did you record at that recording session?
We recorded Your Wild Heart, Kayla Bazonia, Can I Be Sure?
Your Wild Heart is a song that eventually became a hit by a lady named Joy Lane, and she was, I think, something like 15 years old when she recorded. She was a Teresa Brewer sound-alike.
Yes, that's right.
Your record got released on a small label?
Yes, called Point.
Based in Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
Was Your Wild Heart the A-side of the record?
Yes, it was.
Did your record come out, and did it immediately get covered by Joy Lane?
No, not immediately. We were very excited because it came out, and we were hearing it on the radio, and we were getting some action from it in Cleveland, and then all of a sudden, she came out with her record, and being new at this, we said, oh, why is she doing our song, you know? And I remember them saying, that's what they do. They call it a cover record.
How did you first find out that she did the song? Did you tune in the radio?
I think we did. I think we tuned in and heard it, and I remember, you know, being so young at that time, we were like, shocked. Hey, that's our song. We can't believe that, you know, and then they explained to us that this is what happens, you know.
He said, oh, no. This is the original version of the song, Your Wild Heart. These are the Ponytails. Now, before we go into the flip side, which I am going to enjoy talking about, called Kayla Bazonia, let me ask you, how were the voices arranged? You, Tony, were the lead singer?
Yes. I was the lead singer. Karen had high harmony, and Patty had the low harmony.
We now go to the flip side, which I believe was an original song?
Yes, the three of us wrote that song, and we had never written a song before, and from what I can remember, we heard that phrase somewhere, you know, I don't know if we were at a party or we overheard someone saying Kayla Bazonia, and we just thought, you know, that's got such a different sound to it. We asked them what it meant, and I think they said at the time it meant, I can't believe it, I think is what it was. I'm not really positive on that. So we just got together and we said, well, let's write a song. We just wrote a different verse, and I remember having so much fun doing it because we tried to rhyme the words, and even my mother, God rest her soul, she even helped with some of the rhymes on one of the verses, and that's how that song came to be. And then they put the melody together. I believe that was Al Russ. He was a great guy. He was from Cleveland, arranging for that song, so I'm pretty sure he must have come up with the melody because we really just wrote the words.
Is that Spanish, Kayla Bazonia?
No, I think it's supposed to be Italian. I think first song we ever wrote, and it's the last one we ever wrote.
Oh, gosh. So you never wrote a song with an English title?
No. The verses were in English, but that Kayla Bazonia wasn't. But we had a lot of fun with it.
There once was a fella named Tony who loved a girl named Marie. They used to walk by the river and dream of the Isle of the Free. Now Tony, he wanted to marry Marie, she thought it okay. They wed in the church in the valley, and that was their happiest day.
And how do you spell Bozonia?
Well, I think it's spelled on the record B-O-Z-E-N-A.
Yes. Is that correct?
Well, that's what they put down on it. I that must be the correct word. But we pronounced it Kayla Bozonia.
When you released Your Wild Heart and Kayla Bozonia, you already were the Ponytails, not the Tony Trio, right?
That's correct. Tony Trio was just when we were in school. When we went to do Your Wild Heart, they said we have to come up with a new name. And that's how we came up with Ponytails. At that time, the crew cuts were very popular, and we thought, well, gee, the crew cuts for the fellows, what is the girls, what kind of hairstyle for the girls, and we came up with the ponytails, and at the time, we all had short hair, had to grow our hair. We had to grow our hair to come in with our name, because we had short hair.
So how long did that take?
Well, it took a couple of months or so. You know, we had little stubs, and then they got longer and longer, and by the time we actually got to New York, I mean, we actually had, you know, long hair.
I guess you could have used phony ponies.
Well, we didn't, but Laverne can add something about that because she did wear a phony ponytail, right?
Laverne, you were the phony pony?
I had to wear it because, again, I came in later and my hair was short. And in order to fit in with the group, their hair was, by that time, in a very pretty ponytail. So I got a fake one. And naturally, anybody who has the name Ponytail, there was always a fan in the audience that we had to prove to them, and they would pick my hair. And there were a couple of times where it came off, but eventually I was able to take that off and use my own hair.
And then you were a real ponytail.
Then I was a real ponytail. As a matter of fact, that fake ponytail is now in the Hall of Fame.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Believe that, I donated my fake ponytail.
Anyway, I'm Ronnie Allen, and we're off to a great start. That was your first single. The next one is Can I Be Sure? And that's one that you did at the same session that you did Your Wild Heart.
Right, in Cleveland, Ohio.
Let me ask you this, Laverne. You enjoy the spectating so far? You
oh, yes. I'm remembering this. I learned all of this because, obviously, I wasn't one of the originals. So I had to learn the background so that I could explain this when we went on the road.
Very good.
Oh, this is all new to me, too.
Okay. I just want you to know I didn't forget about you. No, I realize I got two of you on the phone.
Oh, no, this is fun.
How come you switched to a different label? Was Mark Records another small label? Was that also?
You know, Ronnie, I don't really remember how that came to be. You know, we were recording down there, and we just went along with whatever they said, really. And the first song, Your Wild Heart, they put on Point, and then Can I Be Sure, they put on Mark. I can't tell you why that was, but I do know that because of those two records, we got the contract with ABC Paramount.
This is your second release, the one that followed Your Wild Heart and Kayla Bozonia, on Mark Records, Can I Be Sure?
Thank you.
when you're away, then you'll be lonely. You're in my heart, dear, or apart, wild and endless. Will you be mine till in the time? Can I be sure? Now I am your one and only. Tomorrow will I be your best? Are we too young for a real love? How can I know it will last? Can I be sure that you'll be true?
Can I be sure? That's the name of the song, and that was The Ponytails. And I am Ronnie, talking with The Ponytails, namely Tony and Laverne. And Laverne is making sure that everything that Tony says is accurate, and she's checking me and making sure that everything that I say is accurate. And so far I'm okay, Laverne?
Absolutely. I wouldn't hesitate to say you're right on.
You're so nice that even if I was wrong, you probably wouldn't say
you're right. I wouldn't tell you.
I know. Until I go home, it's too late. We're moving right along, and we've already played three different recordings and three really different sounds. And let me ask you, before we get to ABC Paramount, which was a very big move, obviously, did you do a lot of rehearsing to get your voices to be exactly what you wanted them to be?
Oh, yes, definitely. We used to practice after school. We used to take the bus down to Cleveland because, Lynhurst is a suburb of Cleveland, and we'd go down there and we would practice down there over and over again. We did a lot of practicing. We practiced in each other's houses. We used to get together because the girls, they made up their own harmony. It was all from their, hearing the harmony. So we would get together and sing a song, and then the girls would pick up the harmony and blend in. You know, it was just a lot of fun, and neither one of us had read music, so it was all strictly from what we heard.
Before you switched to ABC Paramount, you had a change of personnel in the group.
Yes, when we graduated in 57 from Brush, we were offered a contract with ABC Paramount for 3 years, and Karen's father and mother did not want her to sign the contract. They did not want her to continue, and we were already committed to ABC, and Patty and I, our parents, said it was all right if we would continue. They said they would allow us to do it, so we had to have auditions. Had an audition for someone to take Karen's place. And we had this one girl, her name was Beverly, and I believe she was Miss Wooster, which is another city in Ohio, and she did the high harmony. But when we would record with her, the only way she could sing with us is she had to have earphones on. She could not sing with hearing our voices. It would throw her off. So we said, gee, Beverly, you have a beautiful voice, but that's not going to work because we have to perform on stage, you know. So then we put auditions out, and that's when Laverne came in. And as soon as she came in, she just fit in perfectly, and we just hoped that she would want to join us because she was just great.
Laverne, welcome to the interview.
Well, I had been in the same neighborhood, and I knew Patty and Tony slightly from Brush High School, even though I didn't go to Brush. So when I met them, and I think Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, it was on the bus one day. We were all going someplace, and I was on the same bus. We all got to talking, and that's how basically the interview started. And Tony had mentioned that we had gone down to the, I think it was the Perry Payne Building.
Yes.
Down in Cleveland, Ohio. And I had to relearn what they had already done. Well, luckily for the group, I have an ear, and so did Patty have an ear for harmony. So that made it easy because we really didn't read music as such. So evidently my voice fit in.
Beautiful.
And I just loved the singing, and I loved the girls, and I loved the song, and it was just a wonderful time for me. So I was pleased that they said, come on in.
Your first release on ABC Paramount was a song called It's Just My Luck to Be 15. But I have a feeling you were a little bit older than 15 when you really recorded that, right?
My birthday came the later part of the year, so I know I was 16 when I graduated. Okay, and I think, Tony, you and Patty were 17, right?
Right.
But somehow It's Just My Luck to Be 17, I don't think would have
sounded
as good.
It didn't fit.
At any rate, this was the first release on ABC Paramount. It's Just My Luck to Be 15, and these are The Ponytails.
Much too old to play with toys. Dad thinks I'm young to go with boys. I guess I'm just an in-between. It's just my luck to be 15. I flew a plane to Paris.
That was It's Just My Luck to Be 15 by The Ponytails. So now we're going to talk about the record that made you stars. It was Come On Joey, Dance With... Well, actually, you thought it might be that record. That was the A side of your next single, Come On Joey, Dance With Me. Any thoughts on that song, Tony? Did you...
Well, it's what you said. You know, we formed, we made that record, and they expected the Come On Joey, Dance With Me to be the A side, the side that would be the hit that they would push.
You're kind of excited about the song Come On Joey, Dance With Me, right? I mean, you
very much so. In fact, my father's name was Joe and my brother's name was Joey, so I was always excited about that. I said, oh, we're doing this song for you.
Right, but it wasn't written for them specifically.
No, it wasn't. I just said that because I was singing it.
This is the one that could have made the Ponytails the big recording stars of 1958. This is Come On Joey, Dance With Me.
Don't be sad, oh, my love.
Well, talk about a contrast. That was Come On Joey, Dance With Me. Very much up-tempo and very much unlike the B-side of the record by a couple of songwriters named Tobias and Strauss. What did you think of Born Too Late when you first heard it?
When I first heard it, I thought it was a nice ballad. That was about it. It was easy to sing, very good melody, and you know, the beginning of it with the saxophone, I think that's what caught us right away. But truthfully, Come On Joey was very, very much, even in the studio, being hyped as the A-side.
Yeah.
So we spent, if I remember, we spent more time on Come On Joey than we did on Born Too Late.
My recollection is that I remember more fun in singing Come On Joey, Dance With Me, because
mm-hmm.
it was an up-tempo.
You're right.
And the other one was slower, and so I guess in my mind I thought, well, we have to have something on the other side, so this will be it.
When a record is touted as an A-side, and then the B-side takes off, generally it's because of a DJ, for whatever reason, flipping it over. And did that happen in this particular case? Was there a specific DJ that flipped over Come On Joey and played Born Too Late?
Oh, most definitely. That was Bill Randall. That was a big disc jockey in the 50s in Cleveland. And when he played a record, many times it became a hit. And so when he got our record, he flipped it over to Born Too Late. And I really feel that that's what helped it become so popular. He liked it, obviously, and he would talk about it on his radio station.
So that was the side that he preferred.
Mm-hmm.
And this record has really become a girl group classic. The Ponytails with Tony on lead. This is Born Too Late. Ponytails, Born Too Late. It's hard to believe that that can't be 50 years old.
No, it's hard to believe.
Unbelievable. Naya, it seems like just yesterday I was at summer camp when that record was in the top 10 and it was just moving up the chart. And back then, there weren't that many girl groups in the top 10. That was a monster hit.
Talk about timing again. At that particular time, I don't think there were that many girl groups singing. It was a little bit after, oh gosh, let's see, it was in the 60s that we stopped, and there were a lot of girl groups coming in after that. But I think, again, timing was everything, right, Tony?
That's right.
Yeah, we sort of got right in the beginning of it.
I want to mention your producer on Born Too Late, and many, if not all, of the ABC Paramount sessions was a gentleman named Don Costa.
What I remember about him is he was just so talented. He was our arranger, and he did all the arranging for our records, and a very nice person. We just felt thrilled that he would be working with us, because even at the time, he was very well known, and he was just a beautiful arranger and a wonderful man.
Sadly, he is no longer with us, but his musical contributions are legendary.
Don Costa was top drawer. So, again, that was a feather in our cap.
As a result of Born Too Late, you did American Bandstand several times?
About 10, I think.
And you did Born Too Late on all 10 of those shows?
Every time we went on.
That was it. You're the Ponytails. But we want to do our new... you're doing Born Too Late. Is that the way it happened? I mean, you had other releases. They could have said, let's do a new single. No, you're going to do Born Too Late?
I think the people that went on Bandstand in those days were the ones that had a hit record within the top 10.
Yeah.
And so as long as Born Too Late stayed in the top 10, they would have us back periodically to sing the song.
A wonderful record, Born Too Late by the Ponytails, who are much more than just that recording. In fact, several of the records that we're playing tonight did make the national and regional charts, but because Born Too Late was by far the biggest recording, that's the one that everybody seems to talk about. The follow-up to Born Too Late is called 7 Minutes in Heaven. And either of you want to take a crack at that one? Raise your hand. Who's raising your hand?
Remember about that one, Laverne?
Just about as much as you remember about it, Tony. It was the follow-up, but I'll tell you what Born Too Late did. It opened up a whole new area of entertainment for us. The fact that our name now was a little bit well-known, we started our club, I want to say clubbing, but that's not exactly what we did. We worked some of the bigger clubs because of the success of Born Too Late. So 7 Minutes in Heaven sort of came on the heels of Born Too Late, but not as a big catapult kind of thing. We focused more on our nightclubs, I guess, right, Tony, at the time?
Right.
Entertaining?
Yeah, on a bigger scale.
Like
that's what Born Too Late
an act. In other words, you were not just singers, you were entertainers.
That's right, and that's what sort of started us on the touring and our stage act. We could do 45 minutes to an hour. We had 2 and 3 different shows per night. And basically, that's what Born Too Late did for us, but it also took up an awful lot of time. So we didn't have much time in the recording studio, and I think when 7 Minutes in Heaven came around, it was more like an afterthought.
Cause it seems like I need 7 minutes in heaven.
7 Minutes in Heaven. That was by the Ponytails, and I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Ponytails, Tony, and Laverne. We're going to go to the next record. I'm going to play both sides of it. I'm not even sure whether Early to Bed or Father Time was supposed to be the A side. Tony, do you remember?
You know, I'm going to say Early to Bed, but don't quote me on that. What do you remember, Laverne?
I think I remember more Father Time.
Okay.
Good, we got a controversy. Okay. Bing.
A disagreement here.
Here's round one.
I remember Father Time only because at the time the sing-alongs were very, very big, and Father Time's upbeat tempo somewhat fit that time frame, and that's why I thought that Father Time was going to be the A-side.
I don't know what was the A-side. Tony thinks it was Early to Bed, and Laverne is saying, well, maybe it was Father Time. I'm going to play him alphabetically.
Okay.
So, first of all, here we go. These are the Ponytails and Early to Bed. Something that Ronnie Allen never does, because Ronnie Allen just spends hours and hours and hours putting together these interview shows. I'll start like at 9 o'clock and editing the shows. By the time I'm done with the show, it's like 5 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Forget about Early to Bed, but...
That doesn't apply to you.
More like Father Time.
Yeah. Yes, I am more like Father Time. Anyway, that was Early to Bed, a good sound on that particular recording. And anything you want to say about Father Time?
Very upbeat, easy to dance to. It was fun recording it, and that's all I can remember about it, really.
I don't remember too much about it other than, you know, recording it in New York and hoping that it would become as big a hit as Born Too Late. You know, we were hoping every song after Born Too Late would catch on. But it's just amazing. Like you said very nicely, they all got airplay and they all got some attention, but Born Too Late carried us.
Right now, we're going to listen to Father Time. These are the Ponytails.
Stars above. Oh, how I love
Father Time goes early to bed. Almost like early to bed, Father Time. I know, it almost seems like there should be a connection between those two titles. Say the right thing. Are we having fun?
Yes.
You're really stretching my mind, Ronnie. I'm listening to you and I'm listening to Laverne. I'm thinking, I got to really start thinking, what happened 50 years ago? What did I do when I made this record? Very interesting.
I know, Laverne, you wanted to say something about how you recorded, and now you can have the floor and say what you want to say.
Oh, okay. I do remember that a lot of these songs had to be over and over and over and dubbed over, and we dubbed our own voices and replayed the songs. Most of them were done at night, 12 o'clock,
wow.
1 o'clock. That's something, as a teenager, struck me very funny. I didn't really realize that there were people that were up and moving and doing things, you know, at 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. So when we're asked about what the recording session was like and whatever, it is a blur. It really is a blur. It is to me, anyway.
Yeah. Well, you were not early to bed. You were just working late at night.
Exactly.
You open with your stage act for people such as Liberace and Nat King Cole. And Laverne, you told me an interesting story involving Nat's very young daughter.
Yes. We had been in Syracuse, New York over the Thanksgiving holiday, and it was at the Three Rivers Inn, and we opened for Nat Cole, and he obviously is just an absolute marvelous person. He was talking to his daughter that night, Thanksgiving night, and what I don't remember was whether it was before or after the show, but we were all together, and he was on the telephone, and he motioned us over, or motioned me over, I think it was, and asked if we would say hello to his, I think at the time, 8-year-old daughter, Natalie, because she remembered Born Too Late, and she was so pleased at the other end to be talking to us. And, of course, I was pleased to be talking to Nat Cole's daughter. Now here it is so many years later, and the woman is absolutely a fabulous talent. And to think that I talked to her on the phone when she was 8 years old, I thought that was interesting.
Well, not only interesting, but the fact that she said she loved Born Too Late.
Yes. Yes.
Gosh.
Yes, that tickled us at the time. And the other one was Liberace, who was a fabulous showman when he came on stage with all of the capes and the glitter and the diamonds and the rings and everything. He passed them out to the people in the audience because he said, you know, you're the ones that made me what I am, and you bought these things for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, wear them during the show. Of course, he got them back when the show was over, but that was just such a gesture on his part. He was a fabulous person, too. We had a good time there.
One of my memories, this was all taking place at the Three Rivers Inn in Syracuse, New York,
mm-hmm.
and you would perform, and then upstairs they had hotel rooms where the stars would stay, and we also performed with Bobby Darin. And I remember Bobby Darin came into our room, you know, and I think Patty's mother was there at the time because
mm-hmm.
he had the mothers with us and chaperones. And I remember him telling me that he has to make it big because he had some heart problems. So he had to make it big because he wasn't going to live long. And when he died, I remember that like it just had happened.
I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Tony and Laverne of The Ponytails. The third ponytail on Born Too Late was the bass singer, right? She was the low harmony singer, Patty McCabe. And sadly, Patty is no longer with us. And tell us just a little bit about Patty, what she was like in general. Did she have the same personality as the two of you, or was she a little bit different, either one of you?
Patty was a lot of fun. I mean, she just was a beautiful girl. She was the neighbor. She lived behind me, the street behind me. So we kind of grew up together, and we used to had sleepovers together and everything, so she was a friend. She really loved singing. She loved the show business. In fact, when we broke up in 1960, out of the three of us, she's the one that didn't really want to break up, and she wanted to go back into the business. And I believe she did. I believe she got two other girls, and from what I understand, they went on singing and calling themselves the Ponytails, but they never made any records. Sadly enough, she ended up dying, and I believe it was in January of 89, and Laverne and I got to see her a couple of times before she died. In fact, before she died, she received a royalty check, and she was just so happy about that.
Just to add to that, too, Tony, I think of the three of us, Patty enjoyed the entertainment field. I looked at it a little differently. Tony, you looked at it a certain way. Patty just enjoyed everything about it, the phone. It is a shame that she didn't stay with us longer.
Did you keep in touch with Karen, who was one of the three originals?
You know, Karen disappeared. It's just like she disappeared. And we graduated together from Brush, and so when we had our last 50th reunion, in fact, we just had it, I was able to contact her after all these years because I got her number through the reunion committee, and I talked to her. Gosh, you're going to ask me where she is, and I can't quite remember, but it was out west somewhere.
I wasn't going to ask that, but you brought it up.
Yeah. We had a nice conversation. It was great talking to her.
Is the song called Oompa Polka or Oompa Pa Polka?
Oompa Pa Polka is the way I remembered it.
I think it's the way I remembered it too, but if we listen to the record, maybe that will tell us, because I think we say Oompa a couple of times and Oompa Pa.
Well, in the record, you actually say, come on, let's do the Oompa Polka, but then you go Oompa Pa.
That's right.
And the jacket on the CD actually says just Oompa Polka. So we'll let people be the judge as if this is going to change the world, which I don't think it will. But this was the follow-up to Early to Bed and Father Time. These are the Ponytails doing their little change of pace. Let's all do the polka, the Oompa Polka.
Oompa-pa, oompa-pa, love you there, oompa-pa. Oompa-pa, oompa-pa, polka all day long. Everybody loves that oompa polka. Oompa-pa, oompa-pa, you can't hear them saying, we just can't resist that oompa polka. We can't wait to start. How they love to do it, oompa polka. Oompa-pa, oompa-pa, Oompa Polka is a work of art. When we hear the people start to sing, we will start everything. Roll the barrel out to cheer the band. And then it's 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, 4. Come with me and do it. Oompa Polka, oompa pa, oompa pa.
Just put an accordion in my hand and I could sound like the great Lawrence Welk. We're going to have one more song to play, and it's going to be a little bit different from the others because it's going to feature Laverne as the lead singer. But before we get to it, we got to talk about meeting Elvis. Who wants to raise their hand and talk about that? I'll tell you what, I'll flip a coin. Tony, you won that flip, so you got to start it.
Well, we went to England and Dublin, Ireland, and Germany to perform. And when we were in Germany, we were at the Von Steuben Hotel performing for a week, and we knew Elvis Presley was stationed in Germany, and we had asked our managers if there's any chance we could see him. And the word came back that he would love to come and see us at the Von Steuben Hotel in Wiesbaden, Germany, but it was an officer's hotel, and he didn't want to pull rank. So he said, why don't you have the girls come and see me? He was living off base, and he was living in the house with his grandmother. And so we went over there to see him, and oh, I tell you, it was a thrill. The house was all boarded up because everybody wanted to look in and see Elvis Presley. And we went in, and I remember that we were sitting in the living room, and there were, like, French doors closed, and all of a sudden they opened up, and then he comes in. And it was just so pleasant and so nice. And then he invited us to come back the next day. And so we ordered pop, and we ordered pizza. And one of the thrills was he sat at the piano and started playing some of his songs, played Amazing Grace, and then he started playing Born Too Late, and oh, I just couldn't believe it. He was thrilled to see us because we were from the United States. And then, of course, when we left, he gave us each a kiss, which we all were just, like, you know, starry-eyed for the rest of the week, I think.
And you didn't wash for a week?
Didn't wash for a week.
You spent quite a bit of time with him.
Yeah, we really did. And
yeah, there were two afternoons.
Yeah,
right, very fantastic.
He had the shows in the evening.
And he played Born Too Late.
On his piano.
On the piano. You know, that was the other thing that I wanted to add. Before that, I never knew that Elvis played anything but the guitar. And when we were there, right, Tony, he
That's
played
right.
the piano. I think there were a couple of other instruments that he picked up and he played. And I was very surprised at that. The saddest part of that was the fact that the house, like Tony said, was all boarded up. He could not live on the base because of the paparazzi. The windows were boarded because the paparazzi had been putting microphones underneath the floorboards and through windows. So he had very little privacy, and that was sad.
We are just about wrapping up, and before I introduce the last recording and do my thank yous to the two of you, I want to say a thank you to a gentleman named Johnny Holiday, a legendary DJ, and Johnny helped me arrange this particular evening, and I want to just say, Johnny, thank you so very much.
Oh, Johnny Holiday is a special person, not only in Cleveland, but to me. You have to give him my special regards.
This has been a joy for me, and as far as I'm concerned, it's my present to your fans throughout the world. I want to point out that the two of you don't perform anymore.
That's right.
Oh, I can still sing. I mean, I sing once in a while, but I don't sing professionally.
You don't sing Born Too Late.
I wish I could. With this voice, I can't sing Born Too Late anymore. Roddy, we want to thank you, too, for taking the time. This has been really a pleasure, and I know it takes hard work on your part. For 50 years, I'm just thrilled. Thank you again.
This may be your first interview in 50 years.
Yeah.
Tony, you have anything else to say?
I agree with what Laverne said, but besides thanking you for the interview, I've just enjoyed talking to you a couple of times before on the phone, and you just sound like a wonderful person, and you're doing a beautiful job. And I went on your website, and I enjoyed clicking on to Jimmy Clanton, because we used to work with him, and listening to his interview. So it's a wonderful thing you're doing, and I thank you so much for including us.
I want to thank the two of you so very much for your nice words, and now it's time to go. there's a collective groan throughout the world. We're going to close with I'll Be Seeing You, an appropriate song, and this one is a little bit different. Laverne, you're doing the lead singing on this one?
Yes.
I'll Be Seeing You.
Only one that we did differently.
I wish you continued health, happiness, and success in not only this year, but all the years to come.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much,
Ronnie.
Heart of mine embraces all day through.
The show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by the Ponytails. Here's Wild Eyes and Tender Lips. Finally, these are the Ponytails with Close Friends.
Sorry now for the things I didn't do. No pain. Oh.